Check, check, 1, 2, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in between. I am your boy, Arizona Verse, with me, my dude and co-host, Soul Popo, and also joining us, my soon-to-be brother-in-law, Neil.
What up, what up, what up, what up?
Yo, hey. You're listening to the I'm Black, He's Mexican podcast, and first things first, clowns, yo. I came across this story, and this is absolutely frightening to me. For those who don't know what we're talking about the Wasco clowns. Some mysterious clowns came through terrorizing a California city. And the reason why this is fucking with me is because I grew up with a phobia of clowns. I don't fuck with clowns, yo. And when it comes down to what I found out, like, I grew up and I just, clowns always made me uncomfortable. Didn't know why. Even into my teenage years, just clowns, whatever. So going through this, and then so I find out from love my mom, but my mom let me watch a lot of horror movies at a very young age. And so what I end up finding out was I had saw the movie It when I was like 5 years old or something like that. And so I was like, yo, I'm gonna conquer this fear. And so when I was living out in Cali, I went to Walmart and I saw It for like $2 on VHS. So I was like, I'm gonna buy it.
Got it. You got it.
Got it. Pick this up. So got home that night, popped in the VCR, and so I'm sitting there and like it starts and I'm like, okay, I'm like, I remember this. And so it's going through the opening scenes and all this. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I do remember watching this. And then we get to the scene where it's raining and the kid is like running down the street, and this is the part of the movie where it's kind of getting a little fuzzy. I'm like, I'm having a hard time remembering this part. And then it gets to the point where it shows up and looks through like the sewer drain. I instantly can't remember anything else for the rest of the movie. I was like, wow, how the human brain works. I saw that at a young age. I remembered everything until I saw that clown. I erased that from my memory and was horrified of clowns for the rest of my fucking life.
Hey, that's a tough deal, man.
On the real, I was always a fan of, I don't know if it was WG, some shit, whatever the hell channel Bozo the Clown was on. I couldn't wait to see that shit. I don't remember seeing it. Then again, a lot of my childhood was blocked away by, I'm assuming, some traumatic experience. But yeah, I never fucked with that. One thing really quickly, I will say, because my sis, she went out to Universal Studios, and apparently it's like, obviously it's Halloween time, so it's nothing but scary theme sort of shit. And yeah, they have a maze where they have clowns chase you. So if ever you want to fight that phobia, peoples, we can go to Universal Studios and be chased by The Walking Dead.
I'm bringing the heat, That's all I'm saying. Fuck that. Man. And as the article goes, this is from ABC News. It's like a scene from a horror film. Residents of a California city are being terrorized by people dressed as clowns, some reportedly wielding machetes or baseball bats, police said. Now, as Sergeant Joe Grubbs goes, there's a natural phobia of clowns. And clearly, if someone is dressed up as a clown and holding a weapon in a threatening manner, that's going to frighten people. And there's been like 20 sightings altogether over the course of the week. And one got arrested, some 14-year-old kid. But this is fucking dangerous. Like, especially we're coming into the Halloween season. And if I'm a nigga that wanna, you know, rob some shit up, I could throw this clown suit on now that everybody thinks this is a big joke and all that. I could fuck some shit up. Like, this is crazy.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't. That's what the fuck are you gonna do, man? You gonna run, you gonna protect yourself. So if some shit like this pops off and some people get killed, I mean, defense? Is that what this is? No?
And the other thing too, because I guess there's a bunch of copycats is coming on with this, because apparently in Fishers, India, the police department are urging citizens or residents to call police if they spot a person dressed in a clown suit in the area. Police confirm they have received reports of a person dressed as a clown scaring people, and apparently it's been more creepy clowns. So this shit is just getting crazy that now it's spread out of that Wasco area, and it's just it's fucking migrating. And it's like a new form of Ebola. This is the Wasco Ebola. Oh, and it's spreading, and motherfuckers is copycats, and I don't know.
All I know fucking is clown. These clowns, do they also have to fuck you in the ass or spit in your mouth or do some sort of shit like that to spread? Is that how this is happening? Is that how we inspire people?
I think it's something like that.
Okay. We'll see whether that makes sense. that makes sense completely. And and maybe if you don't mind me kind of just interjecting this quick little thing, and but we do an intro right now, right? That's what this is.
Yeah, it's an intro, something like that.
I'm just saying, because okay, well, so wait. So you're saying we're recording?
Chill. Check 1-2. It's your boy Arizona Verse, and with me, my dude and co-host Soul Papa.
I'm black. You know what I'm saying?
He's Mexican, but you should already know that, and he should already know that. But we'll get to that later. This is a podcast about nothing in particular, just current events minus the bullshit. You could check us out at ibhmpodcast.com for videos, photo galleries, polls, and much, much more fuckery. Speaking of fuckery, go ahead and follow me on my main source of social media fuckery, which is Tumblr, and that can be found at adifferentstateofblack.tumblr.com, and you can follow my dude Soul Papo on his main source of social media fuckery, which is
also that Tumblr, soulpapo.tumblr.com, or really anything Soul Papo. Please fucks with me, tickle me, something like that.
Yes sir. And we have a special guest in the motherfucking building this week. My soon to be brother-in-law Neil is in the building. Say what's up to the people, Neil.
What's up? What's going on?
Yes, sir. This is Neil, a.k.a. Mr. Dirty Feet, the MC, a.k.a. Canadian Jones. I'm going to call him Canadian Jones because he's been all over the motherfucking world. So
maybe we could call this week, I'm black, he's Mexican, that dude's Canadian.
I love it.
Because we don't fucks with white people, but Canadians is all right.
I know.
We're slowly taking over the world. Y'all just don't know it.
Yeah,
every third neighbor is from Manitoba.
Bam.
Or Alberta.
That's
Quebecois.
That's the part of immigration we never talk about, is the Canadian immigration that's going on right now.
Yo, I'm seriously. Just saying.
It's an epidemic.
We love your healthcare.
Thanks, bro. Hey, quick aside. Not to get too much into the history, but when we moved here, my stepdad told the dude at the border we're going to Disneyland, and we never left.
Yo, similar story.
That's how you doing.
My daddy was going to go get some cigarettes one day, and they never came back either. It's one of those shits, like, one of those great mysteries that we don't really, remember.
We met him on that Disneyland trip, actually.
Your mom and I crossed each other, crossed paths.
Oh shit, yes sir. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Fucking episode 37, actually episode 39. We are fucking knocking these bitches out, and we have like 75 hours of fucking podcasting at this point. I think we're pretty close to being able to say that we're professionals at this, Popo. What do you think?
I mean, I ain't getting paid for this, but we professionals. We professionals.
Yeah,
fuck, only coming in about an hour late. We professionals.
We broke professionals. That's what we do it over here. That's how we do it.
You know, though? Being able to engage, interact, talk shit, and communicate with you is what means the most, and that's payment enough. This is pre-hitting it big, getting my own side show, and forgetting all about you motherfuckers, Popo. This is what's happening right now. And
fucking
I will say,
moonlighting with Popo, that's going to be the name of it.
Fucking A. I will say, though, I was talking to some lady friend, and she had mentioned, she's like, you guys sound really good. I'm like, you know what? You know why? I think why that is, it's kind of like when you haven't fucked in a long time, and finally when you get it, you're so carnivorous, and you fucking sink your teeth in it. And that's what I think our friendship is, because we don't talk to each other for the most part until we do the fucking show, and then it's like we bust that grand nut together,
and
look into each other's eyes.
Balls and that's how we do that shit. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
No holes barred.
And speaking of balls in, I think it's about that time, Popo, for the lightning round.
I'm going to be done. That's good.
And we're going to start this bitch off balls deep, because Pornhub has come through with another study. And our fans know that we love studies over here. And porn studies are always the best, because that's when you really get to know what people are really like and what they're really thinking.
I trust these sources.
I trust these sources 100%. And Pornhub decided to figure out what women want. And as part of a collaboration with our friends at BuzzFeed, the Pornhub's statisticians are offering a unique look at the way that members of the fairer sex get turned on with everyone's favorite porn site. So what they did was they segmented by gender with their analytic tools, and they generated a whole bunch of data, and they came to the age-old question, what do women want? And apparently, women want a whole bunch of gay sex. So I don't know where we as men have failed, but apparently Pornhub's lesbian category is the leading favorite among the ladies, with gay male porn following close at second place. So women would much rather watch two women get it on or two men get it on. Apparently women are not attracted to this man woman thing going on anymore. I don't know what happened. I guess chivalry is dead.
Chivalry. See, that's why I don't hold the door for bitches anymore, because of the shit like this. This is exactly why I can't give two fucks about a bitch now.
The royal penis is clean, your highness.
I guess kind of to Chivalry, you want to step on more toes with this, but kind of, and also I guess it's actually fucking totally unrelated, but I want to say that this is still fucking fallible as well. And I told you just about this a little bit earlier. There was, and I just sent you the link on, I guess his name is Tango Henrique Gomez, which definitely sounds Spanish as fuck. He's a Brazilian serial killer that likes to stab. And then I love, he has such good imagery in his mission. This motherfucker is a serial killer who stabs prostitutes, chokes out gays, but then he shoots homelesses. So I understand why you want to stab a prostitute.
This guy?
I understand that because honestly, what do you do to a prostitute? You stab the bitch naturally. You know what I'm saying? With your own utensils, and you figure, you know, what do you do to a faggot? You choke him. You choke him till he's dead. But I don't understand why he has to shoot homelesses. I'm not too sure if it's kind of like a cow thing, you know, like if you have cattle and they're, you know, damn near dying, you know, you got to kind of put one in the head just to kind of finish them off a little.
You got to take him out to the back.
Yeah.
And he's engaged to a church girl. Like, what is wrong with the serial killer always?
Go ahead. He's doing God's mission is what it is. So naturally, his woman, his wife, his other half is going to be someone connected to the church. And what's fucked up is that apparently these targets of hookers that he goes after looks just like this bitch. So I could see him being inspired because the lady of his dreams, of his lady love, looks like these hoes on the streets. You don't want to kill your lady love, so you kill these hoes on the streets. I mean, it makes sense.
What it is he loves her, but he doesn't want to leave. But he hates that bitch so much that he goes and kills every hooker that looks just like him or something. It says that he confessed to killing 39 people, 15 young women, as well as prostitutes and random people he thought to be gay or homeless. Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with this guy, but welcome to the world. I can't even blame this on America. Yeah. This shit is definitely not going on in Canada.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well,
because they too busy getting high.
Because I got high.
I remember there was a story about a dude who was on like a Greyhound bus going through the plains of Alberta or something. Stopped the bus.
Canadian
cut off like six people's heads in the early 2000s, maybe?
What?
Yeah, let's see. While y'all are talking, I'll try to look it up. But, you know, we have our fair share of nonsense. Although I can't say Bieber. That
Drake. I know y'all did bring nonsense. Justin Bieber and Drake into the world. So
hey, we left him with y'all. We left him with y'all.
Yeah, y'all can have them. Yeah, let him stay in America.
There's an opposite petition, not trying to let him back. But I do remember growing up in Ottawa, Ontario, our capital, right? And the first drive-by in the history of Ottawa.
Wow.
Made front page headlines for like 5 days in a row when I was about 14 years old.
Wow.
I think one person
just broke their board.
It's a big deal for Ottawa. So.
Were they listening to Snoop Dogg?
Probably.
It was some kind of ice cream shit. Used to have to go across the border to Messina, New York to go get rap tapes.
Yeah.
And CDs and stuff when it first came out, and even certain clothes.
Yeah.
And my mom, like, she hated Canada for some reason, so that's why she ended up here. And so every chance we get, oh, Messina, New York, shit is cheaper there. Cross the border. Fucking back, grade 7, grade 8, I got my little Naughty by Nature tapes.
Fucking you know, Apache Gangsta Bitch,
all that kind of shit. Where'd you get this? Because you couldn't get it.
Okay? Yeah, yeah.
You just couldn't until maybe the mid-90s or something.
That's crazy. And what was the story you had told me about how you grew up listening to hip-hop music, and your dad was more into, you know, Earth, Wind, and Fire, and more real, you know, nice music, if you will. Sure. Was it that hip-hop shit? And then what was it, you came down to California for the first time, and what was the story? And then you were telling your pops, like, this shit is really going on out here.
What's going on, my nigga?
It's funny because my pop's like a real worldly dude, and just the kind of line of work he chose ended up taking him a lot of places around the world, you know? So he had a lot of like global insight and shit. But this is probably why they split at some level, because my pops had never really fucked with the States. Yeah. He's a Canadian dude and been a lot of places, but not really been into the States a lot. And so I'm bringing home Redman and, you know, when The Chronic and all that first came out. Yeah. And all this kind of new wave of music that was hitting the U.S. hard at the time.
Okay.
Like, right, even the culture here is like, what the fuck is going on in this fad and blah, 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 blah. So then it hits Canada, who before the age of social media fuckery, if you will.
Yes.
The line was even more divided. And so the States is the big brother, and people kind of wanted to do American shit, but not really admit it because we're proud Canadians and all this. So here comes rap music. And my pops didn't understand why people would talk to each other this way, do the things they say they're doing to each other, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, Pop, but you've been all over the world. Like, you've been to, you know, deep corners of Africa, north, south, west, east, all this. You know, Europe and the Balkans and Cyprus and Greece and peacekeeping for the UN and all this kind of shit. I'm like, it's Redman. It's cool, right? You know, listen to the beats. Serious, man. Let's rap.
Redman, you go home.
And, you know, just getting the shake of the head and all this. So finally, when I lived here, I moved here, mid-90s,
yeah.
19 years old. You know, I'd been here visiting my mom, etc. But when I actually lived here and I walked into some dude's house, you know, to grab a little bag, and I see a gun on the bed, semi-automatic, some with a couple extra clips, and it's cool because there's 20 people chilling. I'm like, yo, Pops,
got real.
It's for real. Redman's for real. Serious.
This shit is real. This All right. is really going
and
on. Need
to come down here. Oh. And so it's been funny. You know, it was weird to see him kind of grow in that area when he'd been so many places. So, yeah.
And that's exactly what, like, NWA did. And I think Popo dropped off, but he should be popping back on anytime soon. But
¿Dónde estás, hermano? ¿Dónde estás?
But fucking that was what NWA and the whole West Coast rap thing did when that started. Like, that stuff was going on in those neighborhoods, and the politicians, if you will, didn't want to pay attention to it. And then when the music came out and those politicians' children started listening to that music, it was like, oh wait, this is affecting us now. And then that's kind of like the reason why NWA blew up so big. And it's that whole, like, this is really going on. Like, as much as, like, and hip-hop nowadays has changed because niggas is glorifying a whole bunch of ignorance, and it just, especially Young Thug, is the worst fucking thing ever.
Have y'all heard his new record? Because at the BET part, but yeah, go
oh
ahead.
My god, fucking, he got a new record called Lifestyle, and like, people are turning into vines of Bill Cosby doing this because it sounds the same. It's so horrible. But
you love that shit, bro.
That's my shit.
Oh, you do.
But it's crazy because, like, back then with NWA, as negative as a lot of people thought it was, I thought it did have a point with the culture, because it was like, this is really going on, and like, people need to wake up, and this is what's going on. Now things are a lot safer. It still Absolutely. Ain't better, but it's a lot safer nowadays than what it was. But unfortunately, the Hip Hop Corporation saw the buzz that happened with the NWA and all that, and they still like controversy sells. And that's the reason why you have Young Thug dressing with cut off fucking pink jeans and shit.
Look
and
you,
he the on the Lifestyle song, if you guys listen or read the lyrics, you have to read the lyrics, because if you listen to it, you can't understand what the fuck he's talking about. But I'm gonna look it up. He says he's talking about being in bed with a chick and something's wrong with her pussy because she can't get his dick hard. Maybe you can't get your dick hard because you gay. Like,
isn't this open already? Like, hasn't? And I think that's why he's speaking truth in a sense, because you know it's real life.
He about that life, yo. But yeah, Rich Gang, and it's him and Rich Homie Thug. This is the worst shit fucking ever.
at the BET Awards, I really thought Rich Homie Quan needed to put on a shirt.
Did you watch the BET Awards?
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll talk about it. I know we got to talk about it.
Because
I got a whole laundry list.
Okay, we got some stuff for that.
Sure, but what's up now?
Wait, real quick, this shit. Oh, okay, here we go. He says, Young Thug says, $1.5 million on the Visa card. 100 bands still looking like the fucking tires. Niggas serving great white like I'm feeding sharks. This shit don't even rhyme. He says, I won't do nothing with the bitch. She can't even get me hard. Something wrong with the pussy. Even though I ain't gonna hit it, I'ma still make sure she got that gushy. Me and my Wody, we don't get caught up like that, no way. Yeah, I don't know. It's some whack shit. But this nigga gay, yo.
He's so gay. Hey, you know what's gonna happen, too? People gonna hear him and be like, you know what? Yeah, that was my problem too. It ain't just because me and my homie Jamar bumped dicks one time and I liked it. No, it's because this bitch pussy whack. Okay. It explains a lot. He be on that truth, cuz. He be on that truth.
It's no longer that they gay. It's that bitch pussy is broke. Like, that is. I don't know. I don't know what to call it, yo. So that's the reason why women are all about this gay sex, because these are the men that are representing us in today's society right now. So
makes sense.
About the lifestyle.
Dumb bitches.
So
dumb bitches.
On to other dumb chicks, huh?
No. They dumb bitches.
You look like a $3.
Call them.
Did
correctly.
You guys hear this? Did you guys hear the story about the kindergarten teacher who quit her job to make six figures twerking for a living? Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, what I heard about this bitch was even a kindergarten teacher. She was an assistant to the teacher. This bitch passed out crayons. That was the longevity of her teaching skills.
Yeah, apparently Jessica Vanessa was a kindergarten teaching assistant before she was discovered by advertisers for her videos. And actually, I got this up in the back. Share my screen with the people watching live, yo. Y'all can see that booty shaking.
I mean, she does have a big old ass.
You know what? It's not even like it's popping, though. I mean, she knows how to work it. That's for sure. Her hips
work it.
You know what I'm saying? And so, I'm just going to hate a little bit, because the Lord knows I love a cake, and I love cake on the Wedita, but it's just, it ain't padal, if that makes any sense.
No, what's creepy is that, okay, she has 2 million followers on Vine, so shouts out to her, because, you know, niggas love looking at asses shaking.
Can you X out that ad, though, so people can see something good?
Oh, wait, there we go. And everyone knows, I said this back episode 2, I believe, I'm sick of twerking. I'm so beyond twerking. It's the same thing. Like, I give it up to some of these white chicks that I have seen on Vine, because I've seen a couple of them that they've put a spin to the twerking and they've done something fresh to it. But just shaking your ass like, okay, I've seen that a million times. But what's creepy about this one is that this chick says she gets a lot of support from her family, and her brother is her cameraman.
God, he better be getting some ends on this. I would assume he gonna sell your sister like that. You know what, though? Miley Cyrus, who you can say we dub the twerking queen or princess or Tem de la Whore. She said twerking is dead. So I'm not too sure if that means anything. I'm not too sure if her word stands.
I'm just glad she chose a different line of work before teaching a bunch of kindergarten kids how to do that particular thing.
Let me show you how to twerk that ass, y'all.
This may be on the curriculum in a few years.
We don't know if she chose a different career path.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's 22, and I'm not saying anything against her age. I'm just saying, okay, at 22, I mean, you're caught up in the life, right?
They want to
pay six figures to shake around like you do on Friday and Saturday night anyway.
I probably would have done it. And I will give her this, though, because she does say in the video how she was like, she's making a whole lot. She was like, she makes way more money in 6 seconds twerking than she did as a teaching assistant. And so she was like, people could get mad at her for going to go make this money, but it says a lot about what we're paying teachers, that, you know what, this twerking shit is the life for me.
It's better than educating the youth of America. Ain't that some shit?
And bringing up Miley again, though, real quick, because, yeah, she is over twerking, but did you hear she's all about that nay-nay now?
Oh, she does the nay-nay, huh?
Yes, Miley is now...
I love seeing white bitches nay-nay, because it looks so retarded.
I can't wait until a year from now when they're dubbing her the queen of the nay-nay and saying that she created it, much like they said that she created twerking.
But, that can mean anything from my grandma to my dog's name. What is a nay-nay exactly?
Oh, you ain't ever seen a nay-nay? The nay-nay is a stupid dance.
I cannot say that.
They do something.
Oh, Arizona first. It's on the nay-nay, y'all.
It's some dumb shit like that, yo.
Woo! Spectacular.
Y'all meant to see. That's why y'all got to watch the live show, because Arizona first just
y'all
busted.
Y'all need to see me.
Bust the nay-nay on that ass, yo. But it's some dumb shit, but Miley Cyrus is over there doing it. And as much shit as I talk about Miley Cyrus, she is a beautiful snow goddess. And so
I
want
to see how
she
her nay-nay feel like, to be honest. TBH.
So I guess she's making a comeback, though. I'm assuming she has a new album or something, and she's getting ready to come out with, and she's going to be doing the nay-nay through all of it. So,
oh, God, with the fucking
the
tongue.
Path.
With that
I just changed my screen
action.
Name to Neil Never Nay-Nay.
You should.
Neil
you
Never Nay-Nay.
Hell no.
If we can move it on to the next dumb bitch of the hour or of the segment, and once again, this usually pops off anytime you're going to make an announcement of such abuse. Similar to when Rihanna finally spoke to Barbara Walters about the Chris Brown beating, is when she was barely to release her new album. Kesha has recently been in the news, right? Talking some shit about her longtime white bitch producer / twerking extraordinaire, because I think he started Dr. Luke is what kind of made Miami pop again. Do you want to go into the story verse?
And I could go ahead and talk about Kesha, because there's a lot of layers to this.
Ain't no fucking layers. Ain't no goddamn onions to it.
There's layers, son. There's layers, yo. I'm going to do the science show. So this is some creepy shit, because, Kesha filed a lawsuit against Dr. Luke, and she's talking about abuse, death threats, and more. Now, the relationship between Kesha and Dr. Luke was so volatile that she feared for her life, the pop star's attorney claims. He's threatened her multiple times, and there's a whole bunch of different things going on or whatever. But the thing is she filed the suit on behalf of his client against the popular music producer on Tuesday after nearly a decade of abuse. And Kesha is now in rehab, and she's coming to grips with what's happening. And she says that he was raping her and just a whole bunch of different crazy shit. So now that's one layer to it. But me being Arizona Verse, I got to do what I do. And
you play hoes advocate.
I got to play devil's advocate, and I got to get into the conspiracy side of it. And
Neil just shaking his head.
Illuminati gonna come get us, y'all.
This is the creepy part about it. And shouts out to a Vigilant Citizen. I talk about him a lot. And once again, I'm one of those people who I'm a conspiracy theorist, if you will, but I'm more so calling myself I don't like labeling it, so I say that I'm a free thinker, because shouts out to Neil deGrasse Tyson. Once you put a label on somebody, you've already made up your mind what they feel about something. Though, so, I'm a free thinker.
Yeah, we've had
thinker.
Good conversations. We've gotten conversation. Into some of that meat before. That's good.
Yeah. And so, the Kesha thing, though, is very weird, for the simple fact of that her entire career, she's been one of the people who have been dubbed one of these Illuminati puppets. It's Kesha, Rihanna, Beyonce, Lady Gaga, and Katy Perry. Those are like the top chicks that always come up. Like, their videos, every time there's some Illuminati stuff, it's like with one of their videos. And Kesha was one of the people, too.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so now the thing that gets really creepy with Kesha is the last time she was on the scene was when Die Young came out. Mm-hmm. Now,
And that started a whole breach of music, too, where we going to die in the club, we got to dance like there ain't no fucking tomorrow.
Yes, have you ever seen the video?
I don't remember.
I was really turned off, actually, by all her kind of sound and music when it came out, so... it's funny, when I was looking through the show notes, you know, and that came up, I said, let me read up a little bit on it. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm going to play this in the background. We're going to get pulled off of YouTube, but who gives a fuck? We live on the edge over here at the IBHM podcast.
Give 2 fucks.
But I'm going to switch over here. I'm going to share my screen so y'all can see this, because this video is fucking creepy. This is advertisement. So, okay, Kesha Die Young live audio. So, all right, so you see this hearse comes into this little deserted road or whatever, and you see the pentagrams are popping up. She's doing the one-eye thing. It's Skull and Bones and all that is going on. The car says evil on the side. Then she hops out, and they're doing the whole goddess thing, and that's the Isis thing and the goddess and the Sophia wisdom. That's all the Illuminati shit with the...
See, I never saw this shit.
Yeah, the upside down... fucking crosses, the inverted crosses, and like it keeps getting crazier and crazier. So now we'll let this play in the background. Now the reason why this caught so much storm is because when this came out, all the Illuminati boys came out and was like, oh yeah, see, this is an example of that Illuminati stuff. Then it was like 2 weeks after this video is when Sandy Hook happened, and they pulled the Die Young video down and all that, and then Kesha tweeted saying that she was forced to do that song. She was like, they made me write that song and release that, and you see the pentagrams in the back. Mm-hmm. And she was like, they made me release that song, so on and so forth. That was the last time Kesha was really in the news, and then she's been going through rehab and so on and so forth ever since then.
Because they got to brainwash her properly, because the bitch is talking too much. Don't speak for yourself. Oh, you speak for us.
And see, and this is the part where this opens the door for the conspiracy theorists, because you already have all this propaganda bullshit, whatever was going on with her videos, and then now to find out that, yeah, this guy was controlling her since she was 18 and raping her and controlling her mind. And the other thing that's creepy about this, let me hop back over here, let me scroll down, where is it at? Not the lawsuit, it's the guy, fuck. Where's the honor?
Well, I mean, pretty much what I laugh at too is the fact that she's always been this, you know, I wake up drunk, smelling like P. Diddy, which I'm assuming is a euphemism for waking up with random niggas, and you know what I'm saying, and going about the business of, you know, being told. I don't know.
So, well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, if dude finds her when she's young or whatever, she's a self-admitted, I'm up in the club brushing my teeth with Jack Daniels doing dudes, right?
Yeah.
So let's sell some fucking records. Put this shit on, this Illuminati fad, et cetera, et cetera. And you said this was before Sandy Hook, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
So then Sandy Hook happens, and what other career outlets does she have? She's not going to turn around and tell a young lady to be a doctor. So guess what? She ain't making no fucking records. Yeah, she's drinking again.
The Kesha tweet says, I understand I had my very own issue with Die Young for that reason. I did not want to sing those lyrics, and I was forced to. But the other thing, I can't find the name of the guy, but I was reading somewhere that the guy who is... Oh, no, that's Amanda Bynes. I'm tripping. Because it was the Britney Spears handler guy is the one who picked up Amanda Bynes. I was getting the stories mixed up. That's why I couldn't find it here. But anyway, this whole Kesha thing is weird. And yeah, it could be something as simple as that.
Industry
where,
pimps, bro. Industry
yeah, that
pimps.
He's been pimping, and
basically.
But then there's also the layer of who knows. I don't know.
Okay, like I said, Arizona Verse and I have talked about this kind of stuff at length. And the thing we were talking about, Illuminati signs and everything, and he knows I'm a bit of a, I'm not so much into it. You know, I try to rationalize and realize and bring it down to earth and everything.
Which makes perfect sense, yeah.
While exploring all the
Why
angles.
Would you?
Yeah.
Why would you need to? The internet tells us what to do. But okay.
But 2005, took a 3.5-week trip through Mexico. Flew into Guadalajara and was flying out of Cancun.
Okay.
So within 3.5 weeks, had to go through the whole country, right? Yeah. Buses, backpacks, hostels, beaches, jungles, ruinas, all that shit. Got to Mexico City, walked into the main palacio in the Zócalo, like the downtown government buildings. Okay. Our version of the White House.
Okay.
Or, I'm sorry, Mexican version of the White House.
The White House, okay.
Walk into the general Senate chamber, whatever. And on the ceiling was the triangular Illuminati affiliated symbol of the eye on the ceiling of the main government buildings. Yeah. In Mexico City. And I remember thinking at the time, I was reading real heavy into that shit. Yeah. And so that kind of struck me as being interesting, but I don't know about that Kesha. I don't think it goes that deep. You know what I mean?
This is my thing. Like,
all
this
puns,
is
brother. All puns.
Yeah.
I'm big. Just puns.
See, And I play more in the middle because I don't go super hard Illuminati, but then I also don't go super hard away from it. And like the middle ground that I find with it where I'm at now is my theory is the whole thing they've done the studies, and I've said this many a times on the show about how they've studied corporations and how corporations work, and they look like living organisms, like how Walmart will come into a city and then they'll strategically place them next to other like mom and pop shops where they will eventually start to suck the business out of those mom and pop shops into Walmart because it's a lot cheaper, and then so then the mom and pop shops starts closing, so more Walmarts pop up, and the more Walmarts pop up, the more effective they get. And so from one end, it looks like a living organism coming in and attacking the cells and growing, and it's a virus getting bigger and bigger, and it looks like it's being done purposely. But it goes back to the analogy of no snowflake feels responsible for the avalanche. And so it's not that it's someone particularly going in a direction, but I think it's just the overall consciousness, if you will, of the industry, that Kesha is among many different girls that have been raped and abused in the music industry. And it just does get creepy when it just so happens to be one of the five chicks that has a lot of the symbolism. It's going to bring up a whole lot more conversations. Like if this was Christina Milian or something like that, wouldn't nobody give a fuck. If this was I'm trying to think of some other chick, I don't keep up with pop music, but someone else who's not up there. But it's just interesting of all the rumors and all the mysterious and weird things with Kesha. And then to also hear this, and I don't know.
Shit, that could be a corporate brand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the one snowflake doesn't feel responsible for the avalanche. Correct. It's not a shadowy group of dudes calling shots from
sitting
some cave.
Back, you know,
but it's rich
cigars.
Motherfuckers exactly. That can operate in an environment where there's no rules.
Exactly.
And I'm going to get mine and fuck everybody else. And if I was inclined to do maybe what this dude's doing, yeah, I make the Illuminati my corporate brand. I sell a grip of records, get some fly bitches to sing my shit, and make some cheese. And if they want to talk about it, even better, because that's going to make more people buy my shit.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know why I'm not worried about this Illuminati stuff?
Why?
Because I have prophesied many a times here on the I'm Black, He's Mexican podcast that Jay Electronica is here to save us because he is
Black Jesus
reincarnated. And I have more proof. This is Exhibit D that Jay Electronica is Black Jesus. Now, they're in the process of putting this documentary together. And once again, I'm going to share this for the folks so y'all can see this in the background. Go ahead and share the screen, yo. Hit play.
Now, and he also performed at the BET Awards alongside Comments and Vince Staples.
Oh, shit, son.
I heard about this Vince Staples cat.
He's pretty nice.
I keep hearing he's dope. But Jay Electronica has a documentary coming out. And as this little tagline goes, Jay Electronica is full of mystery. And like a magician, his character leads itself to new ways of seeing things that would seem impossible to many. Several years ago, Jay and I traveled to the other side of the earth. We left a piece of ourselves there. In its change, we brought back something entirely new. And the images that follow are a glimpse into the magic for everyone who's curious. He says, traveling across strange lands, we were invited to attend sacred ceremonies of sacrifice and parading celebrations of ancient descent. We trekked together towards the horizon and explored crowded monasteries, solitary mountaintop temples, slums of filthy laughing children, and rivers running with blood and flower petals. I documented as Jay walked a river of burning human bodies. We crash-landed a helicopter in the Himalayas, and we delivered rice and clean water to a school in a refugee tent city. The result was a collage of movements and emotion. If this ain't Jesus, I don't know. I'm trying to warn y'all. And it says the experience in itself was a perfect circle, a question with no answers, full of laughter and tears, but no love story or plot twist. We searched for absolute truth in life, and the only undeniable answer we found was death. Since returning, I have been working on a film based on this journey called Into the Light. See, there we go. Into the Light. I'm telling you, Black Jesus.
And
the
first, that was right.
There, people.
So, Papa, do you know this dude? Do you know Jay Electronica and all that?
Heard of him. I heard a weak verse on Control.
Come on, player.
And I left it at that, son.
This is what I get from Jay Elect, man. Hey, if a new Jay Electronica joint drops, We've all been hearing about Act 2 patentability for what, 6-7 years and some shit. When his shit drops, it's dope. I listen to it. I'm ready for it. I love the imagery in that little trailer and in some of the videos you see. The Dear Moleskine video is dope and it's refreshing and hip hop needs it.
Yeah.
But when I was rapping Dirty Feet the Rapper, my boy, who was the genius, similar to say a Jay Electronica, that genius kind of vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
Is the fucking typical artist who starts something new and it is going to be the most spectacular project that this hip hop world has ever seen. And here comes the thunder. Yeah. And two paragraphs later and a day later, check this new one out. And I've started. And I'd say to my boy, dude, but that brilliant project that's going to shatter the earth from last week, let's work on that. Nah, that's whack. So picking it up, putting it down. This fucking house is probably full of notes and CDs and fucking memory disks and USBs with all these raps on it. Yeah. Just get it together and drop the fucking album.
Just drop it.
Fucking A.
You know what I'm saying?
Now, the thing that's interesting from what I heard with Jay Electronica, somebody had an interesting theory because it's the whole... A lot of this is part of a gimmick, of course. And it's a brilliant marketing scheme. This is like Cloverfield, how they did the viral videos over the internet. That's basically what Jay Elect is doing to get his name out there. And it's working because I think he's Jesus. And the thing, like, I heard a story that with Magic, and any of y'all out there can correct me, but with Magic, there's like three turns. There's the, you present something to somebody that's a sleight of hand or whatever, and then you present the illusion or something like that. And so the titles of Jay Electronica's three acts that he's supposed to be dropping, it was all tied in with Magic. And so the story is that Act 2 actually wasn't a rap album. It was all this that's going on because it's the sleight of hand. You guys are waiting for this album, so I got your attention and I'm doing this other shit and all that. And then when he actually drops the album, it's going to be Act 3 because Act 2 was just a parody. It was the magicians. Like, it's a deep story with whatever they're doing and they've been doing with this guy for like 10 years now.
Right.
It's a long, elaborate story, and I guarantee you he will drop one album, and I don't think he'll drop any more than that. It's going to be one album that's going to be maybe a classic, maybe not, and then he will never drop another album. It's going to be the shroud of mystery of like, who was this guy?
That's for those Jay Elect fans. I got exhibit A, B, and C, but I don't even have Act 1.
One thing I will say, just like anybody who wants anything, I want that shit right now. So let's go into it now. Recently, what they had there with the BET Awards, Lord knows I didn't watch it.
There you go.
And we actually have somebody in the. I find it funny that we have the two Americans here, and the one Canadian is the one who actually watched the BET Awards. I just find that funny.
Here's my main beef, and I don't even know this kid. But I was shattered. I'm sitting at home drinking my 2-for-4 Heine Tallboys.
Bam.
And here comes the cipher with Corey Charon. Right? Never heard of this kid.
No.
Never.
And on the bottom it says Ottawa, Canada. My hometown.
And you have a beef with that?
Because they fucking spelled Ottawa wrong.
Oh.
Are you kidding me? Ottawa never got a rap concert in the 20 years I lived and grew up there. Okay? And now we get on the BET Cypher Awards. He's from the French-speaking part of Ottawa, Orleans. He's probably a French kid, Corey Charon. And he fucking gets on a BET Cypher, and they fuck up the name of the hometown. Come on, man.
That sounds just like really BET. That's what BET does.
I was so pissed.
LaKeisha didn't spell check. I think that's what the issue
LaKeisha
was.
LaKeisha didn't spell check. Ain't that some shit? That
was too bad. So, that was really too bad. That was just too bad for us.
Too damn bad.
I know.
We're still the little brothers upstairs. Fuck.
I know. Still, they're still not giving y'all full credit. No. But I will say, because y'all are coming up in the world, because shout out to Drake, who won a lot of fucking awards.
More than Bieber.
Now, you know what's funny? I didn't live in Canada at the time when Drake started bubbling, 7 years ago or something?
Yeah.
I'm fairly sure, and please, emails, etc., correct me on this. But he bypassed the whole Canada scene.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't part of the grind scene, because grind is a big thing up there.
I'm
thinking London.
that's the reason why he's so big on that down south shit and showing love to Bun B and all that, because he got his break in Houston. Right. So, yeah, so he completely bypassed the Toronto scene and he came up in the Houston scene. So that's where all that, because I was confused as hell, because he brings up like Texas and a lot of shit. And I'm just like, because Drake music don't make no sense to me. Like, I don't get it. I don't get how he names the songs, like the title. Ain't that word ain't even in the hook. Like, why won't you take something from the hook and make that the title of the song? Like, just Drake confuses me on so many levels. And
well, he did.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna bring up, because I know one of the things that he had won, and I don't even remember the video, but one of my favorite tracks off that album, The Nothing Was the Same, which I guess got the album of the year for, fuck it, was Worst Behavior. And it was one of my favorite
Worst Behavior
tracks. And that's the only time he ever fucking just repeats that word, just
Worst Behavior.
That's the only thing I fucking remember from that shit, because the verses were whatever, but that hook, Worst Behavior.
Oh. That one, Best Hip Hop Video, Worst Behavior. And another joint that actually, this is a ignorant pleasure of mine, is that My Nigga song with YG, Jeezy, and Rich Homie Quan.
That one, Best Collabo. Nigga.
And yo, so that one, Best Collabo. And the other thing that's dope about it, I was listening to Juan Epstein, and DJ Quick was on there, and he was talking about different...
Quick. Is he DJ Quick again, or is he just Quick? I remember that was the last time I heard him.
No, he's back to DJ Quick. He got a new album, and
was
shots
it Midnight
out,
Music or something?
Something like that. And shots out to Google Play. I was able to rock with it, so it comes on my Google Play, so I hopped on there. Listened to a couple records. The first one was called...
Is it The Join or what?
Really? Like, the production is solid. I've never liked him as a rapper. The production is solid.
This motherfucker's East Coast at heart. That's why. You can't trust him to come to West Coast music. Sorry, sir.
I give it to him because My Nigga song, what's his name? DJ Mustard did that beat, and that beat is one of his best beats, and Quick actually mixed that down, because he was saying that... He was saying that, what's his name? Mustard does all his beats through Pro Tools. And Quick was like, you need to get up on this analog. And so he ran it through analog tape. And that's the reason why that beat comes out. So Quick knows what the fuck he is doing. Shots
out. He's
been
engineering for a minute.
Yo, he's been doing it. So all you hip-hop heads out there, check out Juan Epstein podcast with Peter Rosenberg and Cypher Sounds. DJ Quick was on the last one promoting his Midnight Music, whatever it was called. But he was on there for like an hour and told some fantastic fucking stories. And he was also talking about like all this shit. Like, he's been in so many sessions where like he's just there and he'll hop behind the board and start mixing shit down. So there's so much shit that he's not even in the credits. But he's touched it. Like, Quick is the motherfucking man. So
as long as he's getting his just dues. And back to Mustard, he got DJ of the year. Which, I mean, anytime you heard a beat, you always hear that. What was it? Mustard on the beat, ho. You heard that shit everywhere.
Oh, everywhere. He also got MVP of the year, producer of the year, DJ of the year, dab track of the year, best collab of the year. Yeah, so he was banging that shit out.
One thing, and hopefully this could end this, fucking, and as it should have gone, as it did, Lyricist of the Year, the King, the God, Kendrick Lamar, the God, fucking Lamar. And then back to how ill-equipped I am on Black Jesus, he got for best, Sweet 16, best feature verse. Kendrick Lamar got the verse for Control, because he did shit on it and tickled the assholes of many. And,
I know, and Control is still my shit off of the strength of that wasn't even Kendrick's best verse.
Yeah,
and the fact that he shook the game up with something that was just a above average Kendrick verse just show that he is the king. And actually, this brings up a good thing too, because I talk about it all the time, and me and Pop are in a constant debate because we both respect Kendrick Lamar as the gold MC that he is. But my personal taste, I'm a bigger Childish Gambino fan. The other layer I have to throw in there too is I always root for the underdog, and Childish Gambino's the underdog because Kendrick is already king. So I don't have to give him any more praise. He's king. I have to help Childish catch up with him. So Childish is above King Kendrick in my mind. So hey, Fresh Prince of Stone Mountain. That should be his new album.
Oh, Papo, ¿quieres empezar o no?
¿A empezar qué? ¿Qué vamos a hacer? ¿Qué hacemos, amigo? Hermano.
por hablar de, sobre el pinche Kendrick y Childish y todo.
Well, no hay nada que hablar porque no hay nadie más.
Well, I'll say this. Kendrick. I'll say this. Kendrick Lamar, I definitely can't say he's king. You got one album, bro. You got a gang of mixtapes, some underground circuit albums,
I gotta say two albums. I gotta count.
Section 80. Section 80.
Yeah.
Dope. And I'm a big fan of Kendrick. But I will say this. I'm a fan of Kendrick album.
And okay,
his
so
extended body of works. I don't think you can take Kendrick and put him as a top 5, top 10, whatever. Yeah. 16-bar hitter.
Yeah.
J Electronica will come up on a song or craft a song here and there and put it to town, but we have no idea what an album sounds like.
Exactly.
Kendrick
exactly.
Lamar.
We know what
if
album.
If you take track 3, take track 8, take track 12, and listen to it by itself, you might come back and give it a B+.
Yeah.
You listen A to Z.
Yeah.
And you catch the whole thing and then rewind it back and listen to it again.
Exactly.
My man's got an A+ off the charts. Yeah.
And that's the reason why I by default give Kendrick the crown, because when it comes to hip hop albums, he's making albums. And that's the other reason why I'm a big fan of Childish Gambino, because Childish is making albums. And I think that is a lost craft in the mainstream hip hop,
right?
Is people don't know how to make albums anymore. It's
no,
just all about a collection of
99 cent downloads. Give me that shit. I don't care about a whole body of work. Now, you and I have both kicked raps and been on the scene, been on the stage, been on the radio, trying to make CDs and shit.
Yeah.
I would say that one of the hardest things to do to sustain a career as an artist is to keep bringing shit that people want to hear.
Yeah.
But also to keep bringing shit that you want to hear.
Exactly.
And to love the game enough to want to go through all the shit you're going to
keep doing it.
So let's see what Kendrick sounds like round two. I'm rooting for him. I think it's going to be tight.
Yeah.
But and he's got a long way to go, just like anybody.
Exactly.
You know, trying to do the thing.
And I will say, and this is just my own personal fandom, but, you know, I have my hip-hop Mount Rushmore, and I'm proud to say that I have Jay-Z, Eminem, and Nas up on my Mount Rushmore. And I will say this for me personally, if Kendrick's next album is 5 stars, he's going on Mount Rushmore, because he's had Section 80 was 5 stars.
That was debut album.
Fucking, what's up?
I said that was his debut major label
debut,
album.
Section 80, cool. Classic.
I mean, it wasn't a major label, but still considered his first release.
And Good then, Kid, Mad City, personally, I thought was a classic. I loved it also.
Which he jumped over that sophomore slump that people fear.
Yeah. And so if this one's 5-star too, I'm going to put him up there. And then for me, Childish, if Childish Net's actual album is another 5-star album, in my opinion, Childish is going up on my Mount Rushmore, because Camp for me was 5 stars. Royalty for me, the mixtape, was 5 stars. Because the Internet for me was 5 stars. And then Stone Mountain is a 3.5. It's a 4. I'm rocking with Kauai more than I'm rocking with Stone Mountain.
Royalties.
But and then also the Childish Gambino fucking the movie. What was the name of the movie?
Don't care.
The fucking
good call,
movie.
Good call. Yeah, that's your soul.
I can't remember the name, but the movie that he dropped.
See, because it was whack. No, I'm just playing.
That's my shit.
I'm just playing. Damn, okay, but let me ask you this, that. And I'll probably get a subjective response. I know this. I'm not a Childish listener per se.
Yeah.
Does he come with the same depth, social commentary, satirical comment that you really have to listen to peel away from what you might think is just a commercial statement? Does Childish bring that?
Childish does do that. Childish, like the first album, the Camp CD, the whole narrative of it, because that's the same thing, him just like Kendrick, they're doing albums where the album is like, it's a theme, it's some type of energy to it. And so the Camp CD was basically about this black kid who didn't fit in with black people, but he also wasn't.
That's me.
But he wasn't accepted with white people, so he was kind of an outsider with both. And it was about his experience coming up, being not fitting in with either side. Like, he relates to, he's the only black kid at a Suvian concert. Like, he's into a lot of white culture stuff, but he's not accepted within white culture. And then, like, all the black stuff is starting to get ghetto and ignorant and all that. And so that's what Camp was about, was him just not being able to fit in.
Where did he grow up? In Seattle?
No, actually, he grew up in Stone Mountain, Georgia. he grew up in Stone Mountain, Georgia, and then he eventually moved to like New York or something like that, and then that's when he ended up going to college for creative writing and became a writer on 30 Rock and all that. But because the internet was about this black kid, and now he's turned into the story of the boy, and he's continuing a narrative with it. And because the internet was about this kid who grew up, he's black, he grew up better than, like, he didn't grow up in ghettos or anything like that, but he's still going through the black experience, and he's also isolated in this world of being rich, and he still doesn't fit in, and he has friends, but he knows those friends are only there because he's rich now. And so, like, he, like, whether you get into the story or not, there's a story there, and there's a narrative where you got to listen to it from beginning to end to get it. So, and they're the kings, they're the king of rap albums right now.
Okay. Is he going to suffer from the Manny Pacquiao syndrome, where he's rapping, he's acting, he's doing a million other things? Man, I love Manny.
Yeah.
But he fell off a little bit when he became a congressman, a pop star.
Yeah.
Back home and all the rest. You know,
I think Childish is
too much.
Yeah, I think Childish is going to be okay, because what he's doing now, and that's the reason why he's bubbling so much now, is he's focusing on rap. Mm-hmm. He left Community, and that was part of, he talked about that on Royalty when he was like, in the back of my mind, I hope the show gets canceled. Maybe then I could focus. And the whole thing, like, during Community was like, and that's the reason why he got written off that last season. He was like, I want to focus on this rap shit. So he's put the stand-up comedy out the way. Even though the acting, he does have a show coming out on FX, but it's his own show. It's not him on somebody else's shit. So I think he's going to be all right.
Yeah, I still rock with the Android because I can download music for free. So I'll check out two albums.
So, and I will say, check out Camp, and then if Camp resonates with you, you'll probably like some more of this stuff. But if Camp doesn't resonate, you probably won't like what Childish does.
For sure.
And you're going to look back at Camp like, okay, greatest. But yeah.
And yeah, and that's always the thing. That first album is always the best.
Let's stop always talking about Childish, though.
Why you hating, yo?
I'm just saying, let's stop. Let's stop.
So, moving on, I guess we'll get to the actual show. I guess that was the lightning round, which is never really that quick.
Let me tell you, and that's usually how it goes. Once you're in it, you're like,
You're just in it.
You kind of just delay there for a little bit. Just make sure it all dribbles out.
We're not live, are we?
But I think, Neil, you had an article. You had something that you was going to bring to the table, and so I was going to pass the stage over to you, and then because I only have one other article. So
cool. Well, thanks for having me on, fellas. I appreciate it. You know what I'm saying?
Thanks for coming on, yo.
Yeah, we're Fan Bam up here now, so it's all good.
Yeah.
I have to interject real quick, and I will say this, that when this man proposed to my sister out, y'all were in Mexico when you proposed, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yo, now I will say, if she would have said no when they came back, I would have been mad at her. I would have been like, why did you fuck up and say no?
Oh, good looking out, bro.
Love this man. This is an awesome man. He's an amazing man. And so once they made it official, I geeked out. So I just got to say that. So go ahead and take the stage.
That's love. That's some love.
Yeah, no, it was beautiful, man. Tulum, Mexico, which is about 3 hours south of Cancun. $70 a night, had us these thatch roofs, cabin, no AC, no TV, one outlet on the wall, but two steps away from beautiful white sand, no tourists, beach. So we weren't hanging out with fat Europeans.
Yeah.
Good. Moonlight, waves, nobody else. She said yes. I was off the charts.
Bang.
I know,
and y'all have been to Jamaica several times. Tell the people about that, because bringing your dad up again.
Oh, no. We were real fortunate to be able to spend some time in parts of Jamaica that your average tourist doesn't really go to.
Oh, okay. I got
you. We flew into and spent a lot of time in Kingston.
Bang.
Kingston. And, you know, it's got a bad rep as a city.
Yeah.
And we walked hand in hand through downtowns and markets and local taxis and buses and stuff.
Bang.
And again, didn't hang out with too many fat Europeans, which was cool. And did the thing, you know. A couple years ago, we were fortunate enough to go to Belize, working with Special Olympics.
Yeah.
And helping folks with disabilities really come out and get engaged in the community like never before. Shit like that. So we try to travel, do our thing, and try to sprinkle a little good work in between. It's worked out well. You know?
That's what's up.
Yeah. So I know we got a lot to talk about, but I just really, really wanted to highlight the need to vote, man, right about now. So, you know, we're not on soapbox. We're not necessarily politics, but the general malaise that you and I both know, and Soul Popo, I'm sure, know too, is that people are pissed, man, right?
Yeah.
Washington sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
New government, Congress isn't doing shit. All this nonsense and talking, cable news, and no one's really talking real, et cetera, et cetera. So all I need to say is that we're coming up on what they call the midterm elections.
Yeah.
And as we all know, government is made up of three branches, which in theory should work together to make things happen.
In theory.
Which reality is fucking not. Right? So we have a real chance to sculpt our three branches of government collectively as a nation in a hokey pokey world that can get people in there that'll work together and get shit done. So all I'm gonna say is go to vote. If you still can, sign up for early voting.
Yeah,
get that ballot. Home, smoke your little weed.
Bang!
Drink your 2 for $4 tall boy. Look at some candidates. Spend 10 minutes off the Facebook and look up who you can vote for in your district.
Yeah.
OpenCongress.org. Google, who is my senator? Put your zip code. Who is my House representative?
Yeah.
Put your zip code. Right. And I don't want to influence people partisanly.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I feel once you start putting your party hat on or talking about who you should vote for, etc., you either really engage one set of people who are probably going to vote fucking anyway.
Yeah.
Or turn off the rest of the motherfuckers who say, I've heard that shit a million times before.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, but what I can say is that currently Obama's in office, obviously, for 2 more years.
That's who that brother is.
The Senate is Democratic, right? Yeah. But the House is Republican at the moment. And where a big, big part of the problem and vitriol and poison and all this nonsense we hear that have just turned people off of politics.
Yeah.
Saying, get Obama out. Saying, I don't really know what's going on, but fuck them all.
Yeah.
Is that...
And that puts us in a standstill of not being able to do shit.
Right. Is that one square peg... The Republican Party in the House has made it their goal and has elected people into the party. They want to have nothing to do with anything that is a democratic idea.
Yeah.
Right? So, not to say let's vote the Republicans out, but if you vote the Republicans out of the House,
maybe things will run a little smoother.
Then at least for the next 2 years, we'll have a like-minded branches of government and they can get things done.
Yeah.
Now, whether you agree with their set of ideas is one thing, but the fact that the current situation is the way it is not going to change anything for at least the next 4 years. We're still going to be watching the same fucking cable news bullshit.
Yeah.
We're still going to be ideologically split. We're still going to have the social problems and ideas because the same narratives are going to be pushed for the next fucking 4 years.
Exactly.
So my personal platform is vote the fucking Republicans out of the House, which means when you get your ballot, again, fucking Google who's my senator with your zip code, who's my congressman with your zip code.
Yeah.
When you get your ballot, if those people are up for vote, on the top left, it says federal elections. You can vote for either your Democratic candidate or your Republican candidate.
Yeah.
You either switch both of them to Republicans, so you vote in Republicans for the Senate and for the House, or fucking kick the Republicans out of the House, vote the Democrats in,
so we
and
get
then
some type
we
of direction.
Get something done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really does take, once again, people getting off ass. So you don't even need to do that because you can have that shit mailed to you and just put it into your
I sent my shit in already.
Bam.
I was drinking my tall boy, voting, y'all. Rapping.
It's like, one of my canvas pusher lady friends would got on my ass because she's like, did you vote? And I'm like, I think I got a ballot. And this bitch is, oh. And I hate when I get texted like, oh. But that just means fuck off. But on that fuck off spirit, recently in Arizona, as well as what was it, Wyoming, and again was it Alaska? Yeah, Alaska. They, due to the federal courts, you know, allowed for gay marriages to kick into effect. Now, for those that, you know, obviously, you know, who are in the predicament, we love, you know, clit in mouth or cock and balls in hand. You know, they obviously were really excited. I think it was last Wednesday. I forget, Wednesday or Thursday when that became official. And that's all well and good because, you know, everyone should be able to suffer all the same, even whether they're gay or straight.
All taking the suffering, which is marriage.
No. Yeah. I mean, and mind you, beautiful unity, of course, I'm talking shit. But the federal, I mean, overcame the states. So mind you, and no brewer went in a big old chain. And I don't like that bitch, but I'm glad that she at least spoke the way she did. More of the point swinging that the federal government should not be able to, you know, to pretty much control with the state. Because as a state, we should be, you know, we should have our right to do whatever the fuck we want. Gunslinging, you know what I'm saying?
And alcohol. My opinion with gay marriage is whether you think it's okay to be gay or not, the government shouldn't be able to say who can and can't get married. Mm-hmm. And I will also
what agenda you pushing, motherfuckers?
I will also go as far, and some people think this is controversial, but I don't think it is. I also go as far as I believe in polygamy. Like, if people want to get married, or ain't that what's called polygamy, when you can marry more than one person? You should be able to do that, too.
Shout out to Mormons.
Any consenting adults that want to get married should be able to do that. It shouldn't be the government's right to step in and whatever. Now, if there is a priest out there that will marry them, then marry them. I think the issue is when it's an adult and a minor. You don't want that happening. You don't want any adults marrying furniture or any type of fucking pets or anything like that. But any type of combination of consenting adults, if they want to get married, I think they should have the right to.
Exactly.
Absolutely. 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 Absolutely.
So that's
and
my
see, and here's the plug again. Okay, so fuck it, we're going all the way left, y'all. We're going all the way left. Communism ain't for everybody, but it's cool for some.
No, I'm down. I don't want all these choices. I can't even pick what the fuck I want to eat or what the fuck I get a dress in. Give me a uniform. Give me a menu. Let's do it that way.
Fuck. So the number one is fucking healthcare, man.
Yeah.
Everyone talks about Obamacare and it's a scary thing. Da 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 da. The real act is called the Affordable Care Act, and it was an attempt to change our current healthcare system to a way that's a little more sustainable, helps more people, and is a little more in tune with our values that
and
we state as Americans.
Question,
right?
Is Obamacare similar to, like, because I know in, like, Canada and in, like, the UK, you don't pay for healthcare. Is it similar to how theirs are set up?
No, it's not. Okay. Because our country, the U.S., I'm an American citizen, y'all. Uh-huh. That dude is Canadian, but they adopted me in 2008. So now they can't get rid of me. I got a passport.
He's an American stepchild.
So our country, it was made and built and succeeded and is where we are today in a certain measure because we have very little rules on how to do shit. Right?
Yeah.
On industry, on economics, on environmental policies, on food policies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So our healthcare system was, and still is, built in such a way that private insurance companies, like who we paid for the car and the house and everything, are giving us medical care. I pay you a certain amount a month. You got to go to the doctor, get emergency care, whatever the fuck. We'll pay for it if you just pay me my premiums, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In Canada and the UK, the government does it all. So I pay my taxes to the government.
Okay.
And yeah, they build streets and fund schools, but they also provide for my healthcare. So if I get sick and everything, they're paying the doctors. They're paying the hospitals. Okay. Right? So my taxes help pay for it all. Our taxes are way high up north. Way high. Motherfuckers pay 45% income tax.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Tax that you buy shit on, you know, like your 12% tax at the store. Probably double what it is here. Mm. But that money's used to do that. So what Obamacare did is instead of
open up
having
a
this free-for-all of insurance companies, they just put some rules in place. Said that, Mr. Private Insurance Company, you have to keep a child of a parent on their insurance till they're 26. You can't deny somebody that they cannot get insurance through you because they have a pre-existing condition.
Okay.
There's no limit. If my heart surgery costs $200,000, you can't say, well, we'll only cover $150,000 as the insurance company.
Okay.
And you're liable for the rest, Mr. Individual with a bad heart.
Which is insurance.
So Obamacare put some rules on the thing.
Okay.
And mandated that prices come down so that any motherfucker, myself, if I don't have a job, my homeless friends, can get health insurance.
Yeah.
Right? Because 6 years ago,
If you or I just called up Blue Cross, I want to insure myself and my family.
Yeah.
Holy shit. So now there's rules on the thing. And that's all it is.
And the thing that I find funny is, like, when I read that this, the Affordable Health Care Act, it was initially put together by Ronald Reagan. They initially, like, this idea has been around for a while. And also, there's a lot of other people who would have, like, went forward with it, too. So, like, this is something that was going to happen as an America, if you will. And I just hate that people then turn it into Obamacare to then slander it and turn it into some type of bad thing where this is something where both parties were on. They were going this direction. They were trying to figure it out. But because it's Obama and it's Democratic now, now it's a bad idea. As opposed to, I think, if the tables would have been turned and if John McCain or whatever had became president, let's say he had brought it in, the Republicans would have all been about it. Like, yeah, this is our shit that McCain cares our shit. And so it just it
and
gets
some
so
people
crazy.
Might call that a conspiracy theory. But here's the proof in the pudding. One of the things that Mitt Romney did that got him to the point to where he was able to run for president in the last election, right?
Yeah.
Is he put the same version of Obamacare into effect into fucking Massachusetts.
And it worked.
And it worked. And it was the best one of the whole country. So here comes President Obama. Great idea, Republicans.
Yeah.
Let's do this nationwide.
Yeah.
Fuck you, you're a communist, is the response.
And it's like, wait, right? Ain't this what we were doing? Like,
fuck, right. So what happens now? We're a year in. If everybody remembers, 1 year ago this fucking month, government was shutting down. Obamacare was rolling out and the website was going to shit.
God.
And oh my goodness, look at everything that's going on.
Yeah.
A year later, obviously nothing's perfect. Obviously we have a long way to go, but there's, check the stats on me, if you could. 11 million people that are insured now that were not last year as a direct result of the policies, the laws, and the rules that Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, put into place so those people can get insurance.
Yeah.
And now they have insurance.
And I'm with it because that's the, like, the whole America. And I'm not a politician. I'm not a, I don't run shit. But one thing I do fucking know is that people need healthcare. Like, that's one of the things where, like, so many people, and once again, don't know the stats, but so many people who file bankruptcy because of medical bills. Like,
now who pumped the Affordable Care Act through? That was in the first 2 years of Obama's presidency when he was a Democratic president.
Yeah.
There was a Democratic Senate and he had the House as well. The House was Democratic. So he had all three.
He had some people
that were working together to make something happen. Now, again, if you disagree with the whole philosophical embedding of Obamacare and these social policies, then in 4 years from now, let's all vote Republican for all three of them so they can at least push something through.
Yeah.
This time, get the Reds out, man. Get the Republicans out of the House. Vote the Democrats in. And at least for the next 2 years, can do some of these things that we need to do better, such as make tweaks to the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah.
Keep working on raising the minimum wage.
Exactly.
Keep working on employment, spending, and infrastructure that is proposed by the president and by the Democratic Senate and who the House of Republicans have just shut down. Yeah. Closed the doors and said, nope, we're going home.
We're not
voting on that shit.
We're
not even
going to
talk about it. So get them out. That's all I'm saying. Vote for your Democratic U.S. House representative and or senator. And if you have the opportunity to do both, because you live in that specific zip code, look it up. Vote them both.
And shouts out to my dude, Cenk Uygur, who has that Wolfpack thing where they're trying to get a 28th Amendment signed. Have you heard about that?
I can't say I have.
The strategy is to add a 28th Amendment to the Constitution, thereby overturning multiple Supreme Court cases, including Citizens United and Buckley versus Valeo, which made it impossible, whatever it is. It's to take out money in politics. So you can, like, that's one of the biggest issues with America. And that's the reason why a lot of people are calling conspiracies and all that. And we did the article a few episodes back where Harvard did a study and they were saying that America right now is more of an oligarchy as opposed to a democracy because it's more smaller groups of people are coming through and they're using lobbies and different things to make certain things get approved and all that. And if we could take the money out of politics, that could clear some of that up, where we could actually start making some change. So,
because again, we're a country with no to little rules.
Yeah.
So those rich dudes,
still the wild, wild fucking west out here.
Right. So the rich dudes can come in and call the shots. Citizens United made it so that if you Arizona Verse or myself, where are we at right now? Change it and vote November 4th with $200 in my bank account. We're the same. So if I'm a corporation with $90 million, I can funnel every penny that I have into an election campaign. If I'm a individual, I can also funnel all the money, my $200, into an election campaign, but all of a sudden it's imbalanced.
Yeah.
Before Citizens United, a corporation had limits. So they have $90 million. Well, they can only put some of that towards
in
the
there. Exactly.
To make it my $200 checking account a little more fair. Citizens United took that away.
Yeah.
So now you got all these rich motherfuckers.
They're like,
they can
devote
as much money as they want.
Exactly.
And so that is the one equalizer. You know, it sounds corny, but vote, man. Because if in our system, if all those voter ballots came through with a check mark for a certain direction, then no matter how much money was poured into it, that's what has to happen. It has to go that way.
Exactly.
So if everybody fucking votes, we can get some change.
And that is the thing. You have to get out there and do something. And like, shout out to Jank. He was talking about this on Young Turks, and he was talking about how it goes back to like during women's suffrage. Like when it first, like they were pushing to let women be able to vote, people were like, "Oh, you're fucking silly. That'll never happen." Same thing with letting blacks vote. That'll never happen. No, you got to stand up for something. When enough people get together and fight, then
this is why Walmart now can pay their employees just a little bit above minimum wage.
Just a little.
Holler at change.
But fucking and I lost my train of thought. You said that about Walmart and the weed from earlier.
I'm trying to sprinkle seeds and move on.
Well, let me tell you this. It's been figured out that most people that vote Republican vote against their own interest.
Yes.
I would bet you the next bag that most people that work at Walmart probably vote Republican.
I wouldn't be surprised.
But they're also the people that then accept that, yes,
because
I will only work for a little bit more minimum wage.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of small business owners, and there's people who like think that they're going to be rich or in that tax bracket, and so they vote to protect this money that they don't even have yet.
Exactly.
And that's where a lot of some people who vote Republican that I know, I'm like, wait, why are you voting? That doesn't make sense. That's not helping you. But hey,
so read about it, search it,
make your own decisions. I'm telling you, man, people, research. We got it all at our fingertips if you wanted to.
Exactly. You can sit there and smoke your little weed and research your congressman. What has he voted on? What does he support?
That's what I was
kind of legislation is he proposing? And then look at the other guy and fucking vote.
And that's what I was going to say. That's the reason why the way this oligarchy works and the reason why this shit is still working is because the media and with all the fucking TV keeps you brainwashed. And every time these elections come up, there's always something else going on. You have ISIS going on. So let's pay attention to ISIS. Let's be scared. And oh my God, three people in America has Ebola. We got to stop everything. And it's the distractions, and we're not paying attention to the elections to get the people in that are going to be able to make the changes that we need, because we're focused on all this fucking fear mongering that's coming out of these different sides. And
that's right. Ain't got time.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
So just vote, and then you don't have to listen to none of it.
And yay on gay marriage in Arizona. Arizona finally stepped up and did something. Now, if we could only get daylight saving time out here, maybe we can catch up with the 21st century. So,
yeah. Fucking A. Rainbow Fest. Hello.
And Popo, I think you, did you have another article?
Nah.
Oh, I got one more then for that ass.
Okay, well, I might piggyback because I can't stand you getting up on me. Go. What's up?
You know, nigga got to come through. I always got to have the last
word. Always. It was fucking Jordan's. Just stomping. 8 times stomping.
Yo, shouts out to fucking Norway who is currently building a doomsday seed vault.
Yeah, that's off the charts, bro.
This shit is like some crazy shit. And like
God bless them for Weditas, though. I will say Amazon Norway. Goddesses.
Yo, and that's the one thing, like hopping all over the place. the Olympics, like the last Olympics, we were sitting there and the wife was watching it with me. And my favorite part of the Olympic Games is when the people, the different nationalities come out one by one and they march. And it's just amazing to see the different cultures and just the blends and the, oh, the beautiful, beautiful women. Oh, I dedicate it to y'all. But yeah, shouts out to Norway. They got some fine little breezes over there. I think they do volleyball. One of them,
I'm sure they
whoever does female volleyball, shouts out to your entire genetic structure, because women's volleyball is one of the greatest sports ever. I wish that shit came on weekly, but that's a story for another day.
Yeah. Blessed be the Sundays that showcase such beauty.
Now, in an effort to ensure global food security, apparently 10,000 new varieties of crops from around the world are being added to the Doomsday Seed Vault in the Arctic. This global seed vault, which is off of an island in Norway's northern coast, already stores 825,000 samples of seeds, which represent 13,000 years of agricultural history. Now, the thing that's dope about this, or crazy about this, like, you know how my mind works. I grew up playing a lot of video games. I write a lot of screenplays. I watch a lot of movies. I smoke a lot of weed. Like, my mind goes there.
Everywhere we go, we high.
High, high, high. And the thing that's dope, and I don't want to get a little dark, but let's say World War III happens, it's biological warfare, you wipe out half of the human race, so on and so forth, all that. The only people that survive are the people in the jungles of Africa and South America and all that, and it takes society 10, 20,000 years to rebuild and come back up, so on and so forth. When the net society finds this, they're going to think this is from another fucking planet, and this is going to be the net's Bible, is going to be written about this thing, and whoever put that there. Just imagine if we all get wiped off the planet and we lose a record of this, and some other civilization stumbles across this thousands of years from now. This is going to start the Nets religion. Like, where did all these seeds come from? They're going to think that some fucking spaceship from this is
like
gonna
manna
be the new,
from the sky.
This is going to be the new ancient aliens in the year 3000. It's going to be like, where did these seeds come from? And like, this shit is crazy. But shouts out to this. I do agree that this is very intelligent to do, because I have said time and time again, the Earth is a whole lot more volatile than people realize. Yellowstone Park, that what is it? What is the volcano? Is it Yosemite?
The geysers.
The geysers, whatever that is in Yellowstone Park, it only is a matter of time before that motherfucker blows up. Like, volcanoes go off. Like, this is known history that shit fucking happens. And dinosaurs got wiped off the planet 65 million years ago. There's new studies that a lot of mammals got wiped off the planet 13,000 years ago. And so this is good to do in case us as dumb fucking humans with our biological weapons, our nuclear weapons, in case our dumb asses scorch the sky and kill one another. Let's save this for the next generation so they can get a head start and not make the same mistakes that we did. So, yeah.
Well, not even that doomsday-ish. But when Monsanto and all our corporate takeover with no rules,
that is the
destroys half of the crop of grains.
I'm glad you brought that up.
You know, crop diversity and sustainability and all that. You got to have various strains. Now, I'm looking as we're talking here, and I'm trying to see what kind of corporate tentacles are invading the Global Crop Diversity Trust, who is in charge of this particular joint. So, you know, that's the question, right? How deep are the tentacles of corporate industry?
Because there's a root.
Those motherfuckers.
There's a root.
And it's crazy, too, because that is another thing. You bring up the whole Monsanto thing, and that's Monsanto.
That's no joke, player.
They're crossbreeding and they're doing all this shit where there is a possibility that if we don't get a hold of them, that they could infect the entire seeds across the world with some type of Monsanto GMO flavor, if you will. And so this is good that we get some actual fresh, unaltered strands and keep that somewhere. Because, Monsanto is such the fucking devil. I've heard reports about them. They're putting a patent out on robotic bees, because their crops, their poisons or whatever they're using, they think that the Monsanto stuff is what's killing all the bees. And then Monsanto is trying to put a patent on the robot bees because we need bees to pollinate shit. Mm-hmm. And so if that shit dies off, then Monsanto would control the fucking robotic bees that we would need. They're just an evil corporation. And that's what's wrong with the world, is that people ain't shit. And then when you get a bunch of ain't shit people together in one corporation, that corporation becomes ain't shit. And then a lot of people get affected.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you just need some rules to the road, man. You got to put a couple of red lights on the freeway. You know, it's out of control.
And slow them bitches down. Calm down.
Monsanto also owns, like, patents on seeds that farmers are forced to buy from them on a yearly basis.
Yeah, that's the whole thing that's going on in India.
Talking about a monopoly control, gridlock, chokehold, goddamn.
We just got to put some rules on the road, man. That's all.
That's all it come down to, because...
I mean, vote him in, y'all. Vote him in.
If you leave man to his own vices, he's going to fuck up the world. Mm-hmm. And history shows us that, so... I think it's about that time, Papa.
Oh, is it,
It's time for...
Dedications.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, before we get out of here, it's about that time for dedications. And your boy, Arizona Verse, I got two dedications this week. Mm. And I wanted, Papa, how many dedications you got?
I can square them out, too.
Okay.
But I got to know, because I know you was going to switch hit on one. Is that one of them?
Oh, I'm switch hitting. Yo, I'm switch hitting.
So is that switch hit one of the two?
Yeah, yes indeed.
Well, then I'll have to piggyback, so continue.
And so I'm going to buy some time for Neil, because I didn't hit him with the whole dedication speech until just before we went live on the air. So all I'll buy him some time.
Well, then let's say this too, because usually, and for those who are just joining in today, never heard a damn show, they just, what the fuck is this, and they just jumped on. When we make our dedications, these are both sacrifices that we make to the gods. That, you know what I'm saying, that either pay as a tribute, but also as a sacrifice, because, you know, you gotta do it up big. And into the treachery fires that we're about to throw in verse, you want to go first?
I'm going to start my dedication off this week with, first off, saying that a new movie came out recently that I need to fuck with whenever I get a chance to. And the name of this movie is Dear White People. And it's about the lives of four black students at an Ivy League college, and after controversy breaks out due to the ill-conceived theme of a Campus Humor magazine's annual Halloween party, they go on this whole addressing race face forward. And this is really reminding a lot of people about, like, Spike Lee back when he was doing Do the Right Thing, and a lot of social commentary. This movie reminds a lot of people of that. And I have been following Dear White People, the creation of this, for like 4 years now, because one of their initial trailers went viral. And I saw, like, so I've watched the making of this, and I followed them on YouTube. I've saw them go through trying to get funding and getting actors and then getting distribution companies behind them. So I've been able to watch this entire thing get built up. So my first dedication this week is to the lovely Tessa Thompson, which I'm gonna share on my screen right here, who is the leading lady on Dear White People. Shouts out to her for being so gorgeous.
Very pretty lady.
And so shouts out to her for bringing Dear White People to a stage near you. And my Nets dedication.
Oh, you gonna swing it like that? Okay.
I'ma swing it like that. I'ma just knock them out the ballpark, because that's I do. Bang, bang. My second dedication is to motherfucking John Stewart, y'all. I'm switch hitting this week.
We put Mo Dick on the wall, ladies.
It's Mo Dick on the dedication wall, but this is well deserving. Shouts out to to John Stewart, who had Bill O'Reilly on the John Stewart Show.
Ooh,
and they had a 15-minute debate on white privilege, and he finally got Bill O'Reilly to admit that white privilege does exist. And it's not that there's...
Oh, I didn't see it.
Oh, it was beautiful. They went at back and forth for 15 minutes, and Bill O'Reilly just kept trying to disagree. And the things that he was admitting to, John Stewart was like, that's what white privilege is. Like, Bill O'Reilly's whole definition of it was completely messed up. And so, shouts out to make sure y'all check this out, and make sure y'all look for the uncensored version on the internet, because the one that came on Hulu or comes on the show was shortened to like 7 minutes or whatever, but the full length one is like 15 minutes. And Bill O'Reilly and him had a real good conversation. It was just strictly about that because Bill O'Reilly is known to go on the record to say white privilege doesn't exist and any black people fucking up, you just fucking up because you fucking up. And so he finally admitted some shit. And so, hey, maybe a change going on. So shouts out to John Stewart, my other dedication. I'm going to throw him up on the dedication wall.
That's a grand feat. That's a grand feat. Okay. No. Can I step up in it? Can I put it in? Okay. And this is just surely for the sake of relevance. There is a movie. And actually, I guess technically I'm going to have three. But we going to, just like any motherfucker, anytime you got some pussy, some new pussy, is a whole lot better. So it's a double whammy. Recently, there's a movie called The Best of Me. I haven't seen any fucking trailers or previews. I just know they just recently came out. It's pretty much, and I'm the romantic. I'm that perverted romantic. It's pretty romantic much about comedy. A pair of, formal high school sweethearts. They reunite, blah, blah, blah. Same old shit. Anyways, there's the main protagonist, Wedita, and it is called, his name is Michelle Monaghan, M-O-N-A-G-H-A-N. I could be totally butchering the fucking name. She hails from fucking, what is it? I don't even know, from Iowa. And the only thing I know from fucking Iowa is goddamn Slipknot. But Wedita, Michelle Monaghan. Now, I guess in this movie, she plays the older version of a character named Amanda, and playing the high school version of her is a girl, beautiful fucking Wedita, Liana Liberato or Liberato. It sounds like the name of that of some kind of musical shit. Liana Liana Liberato. I can't say nothing but Wedita, and that's what I want on my walls. Of the IBHN podcast website, Wedita. So I don't know whether to count them as individually, but they one person. One's a high school.
They one person. One person.
I'm saying one bitch is two, and I who don't like having two of everything. now to piggyback off to after John Stewart, who's definitely one of my favorite Jews. To me, who stumps him is the brother Stephen Colbert, who not only to me is the shit. I love his political views. I love how he kind of does a parody of this, right-wing conservative Republican. This man, I talked about this man before. He is also a fucking Sunday school teacher, which I think is dope because amidst all the shit that you're doing, you still have, you still preach the word when you being real.
And that's so crazy to me because, like I was saying, he strikes me as an atheist. Like, I just automatically looked at him and assumed atheist.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, definitely. But then again, you can't play a right-wing conservative and you know what I'm saying, not holler at God. So it's funny how he does that. He actually recently had a little report on the Florida, I don't know if it's the primaries, it's just for governor, I forget what those things are called. And he just puts motherfuckers on the spot, and I love that. He will not shy away from whatever fucking side. He called it the goobery report. Just these two, they're just douchebags. It was just funny. If you can look it up, it was a thing on a recent episode. But yeah, he's that dude, and he's gonna outshine Mr. John Stewart, who is on Comedy Central. They both have their respective shows on there, and it's just dope. He's gonna actually be on national television. I don't know if he replaces Craig Ferguson or what it is. By the which way, when you got primetime network, that's the shit. Big props. And if I'm gonna throw a dick on the wall, it's gonna be his.
Gonna be a mighty dick. If you're gonna throw a mighty dick,
yeah. Mate. So yeah, those are my dedications for the fiery pits that of course will translate into heavens.
Bang bang.
So Mr. Neil Four Horsemen, what's happening?
Yes, sir. Pass it over to Dirty Feet.
Dirty Feet, holla.
Well, good looking out, y'all. Once again, I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me coming on here. I dedicate it to the voter. I dedicate this to that new J Electronica album coming soon. Come on, man.
Let's do it, man.
Dedicate this. I'll put Soul Pablo's dick on the wall. Verdad Mexicano way. Derecho vato, todo tranquilo. I dedicate GP's junk for having a wonderful sister. And then I'm dedicated to that CD. Did you get that CD?
What CD?
Didi's nuts. And I'm out.
And he's out.
Damn.
Really? Yes, okay. Sir. And that's how you set the stage on motherfucking fire. So, once again, ladies and gentlemen.
Y'all are some dumb motherfuckers. That's
how we do it. Yeah, we're podcasters, not journalists. Yeah. So once again, our email is ibhmpodcast@gmail.com. Questions, comments, articles you want to hear our opinion on. Also, feedback. Shouts out to the boy Ryan, who sent in some feedback on the Facebook fan page. And I appreciate the love, yo. And we appreciate y'all listening and showing love. And keep letting us know what y'all think so we can continue to grow and improve as a motherfucker. Unit
and bust nuts now, in your ear.
You can find us on the web at the following sites: Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Tumblr, Podomatic. Just add IBHM Podcast in an appropriate spot. Subscribe to our show on Stitcher, iTunes, and Podomatic. Just search "I'm Black, He's Mexican." And if your niggas is too lazy to do any of that, head over to the website IBHMPodcast.com and find all of the links there. Now, once again, I'm black. He's Mexican. You're from Canada.
That dude's Canadian.
Canadian. And if you didn't like this podcast, Papa, let them know what they might be.
You some type of clown ass shoe wearing, bows with a clown hair doing, making hoes into fucking housewives. You political, but you don't ever vote.
I'm saying?
Grandma dicking. Some type of racist. A goddamn one.
A goddamn racist. So, until next time, ladies and gentlemen. Whoa!
Ooh, feels real good. How does it smell like, though?
Bang, bang.
Bang. We don't say swag no more. We say swank. Jojo. Hip hop's the jungle. Lost in this time, I'm just trying to get it like a boss in this prime. These fake niggas sublime, life for fine sights. Wishing with fortune, but the price ain't quite right. The slice ain't quite ripe. Still pulling strings, how I fly, but I don't like kites. How they gon' treat Brooklyn's finest? Not as fine as diamonds and fine nights. Surrounded by hard flow like Iceland's. Now we getting icy, finance is nice, and I don't like surprises. I like superb prices rising. It's the least I could do. These verses, prices rehearsing, price to reverse a island. Still she cursing silent. Got a problem solved. All my pro solids, we all gon' dine. Until then, we mobbing, so don't push me. I'm close to the pussy, even closer to the knowledge. Dropped out of college in advance and hit the ground running like a sense in my pants. Honey, pop was a bummer clot and had a queen bee mummy. I love it to the tissue. Disrespect my blood and it's an issue. She like, is you on the cover for real? Aw, you're so official. I'm going ahead and buy you some shoes that really fit you. I know she always think a little me, but now I got big literally, worldwide and physically. Walks round Little Italy, now I roam round Sicily, and I'm plotting on the Millie. Another loud pack, another proud cat. They bound that. Hip hop sounds been profound back. Slow down that. Metronome, nigga. Let it hit home with the specimen. Sean gone glitter. Go the nicest trigger. Your true ideology. I can subtract one with a gun. That's true trigonometry. Blank. But that will coincide with the true nigga that I'ma be. He's raw poverty. I kick philosophies. Not because I ride Socrates. I ain't gon' beg, but I can please. Rock your socks and sockets out your knees. Blank. Fulfill your needs with similes. Non similar. Spit that unfamiliar. Put that unfamiliar. For love and vibe, ladies, rub your papillas. And fellas beat they chest like they silverback gorillas. It's the new age, children at the crystal hillers. Thinking I'm about to fly, try catapult caterpillars. After years of constructing, they start the substance. So I keep my circumference of deep fried friends like dumplings. But fuck that, my nigga, we munching, we hungry. After years of construction, they start the substance. So I keep my circumference of deep fried friends like dumplings. But fuck that, my nigga, we much here, we hungry. Blank. Swankin', swankin', swankin'. I see you, Jigga. Hillary swankin'. Blank. Alright, I'm off this. Blank. Blank. Blank.